Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I always equated taking responsibility and being accountable as I had a confusing relationship with all of that. And I know why now, because I hadn't processed buried emotions. I hope to make this clear, the whole topic of responsibility for some people here, because a lot of us have been in repression and we haven't taken emotional responsibility for what we've buried, and we've got caught up in other forms of taking responsibility, like thinking of it as moral or ethical or right versus wrong, or being good versus bad. That's all mind stuff. But when it comes to really taking responsibility, it's body. It's the responsibility to feel and express everything that's true so that we don't contribute suffering anymore to ourselves, our relationships. But we can't end suffering until we take responsibility for what we've buried. It's very challenging to take responsibility for what we've buried because nobody supported us in that. When we were kids. I mean, we support you in that here, but we don't have any, before we get here, we don't have any point of reference for truly being held accountable, not from the mind, but from the body. And I want to point to my own training program to eliminate this. And to my own role as a trainer of people, of teachers and coaches, facilitators, mentors, and I've been doing it for well over a decade. And I'm as guilty as anyone of the codependency coming from buried anger that's rampant in spirituality and self-help. But I've already covered that in terms of the real scandal in spirituality is yet to come because there's a lot of covert agenda going on. Coming from repression. This is different. I want to talk about when people start to discover what taking responsibility really is and how that changes things. Like some people will be doing KI and they're listening to this and it'll touch into their experience. And some people, this might be new to them to think of responsibility this way, but I hope to capture all of you in this. Because if you see what our suffering is and why it comes, it's because we can't and we don't know that we have buried emotions. So we can't take responsibility for the fact of having the buried emotions because we don't know. And then we can't take responsibility for any suffering that those buried emotions create. And buried emotions are what create suffering. So we can't take responsibility for how we create it, the suffering. And if, we, of course, if we get caught in moral or ethical responsibility, that just keeps us out of our bodies. A lot of anger repressors were like me, or are like I was, righteous do-gooders who make ethical arguments about right and wrong, like as an attorney. When I was holding back what was true, I wasn't taking responsibility for my own suffering and how I was bringing suffering into the world. By being something false. When we changed our training program here, as I've said before, it was like very disruptive. And some people left, quite a lot of them were anger repressors, frankly, because anger repression is widespread. What a lot of people don't know is that the new science says emotional issues are the main contributing factor to our suffering, and anger repression lies at the top of the list. So we have a lot of anger repressors in spirituality and who come to our training program to be the future leaders and teachers and helpers out there in the world, at least some portion of it, because there's a lot of teachings and practices out there. We just represent a certain fraction there. We train people and they go do work with people. They become certified here. But the training and certification program that we have now is so very different than when I had buried anger and was coming from codependency, because I created a program which was based in somewhat in not getting to the root of things and therefore missing buried emotions. So we were churning out people who were certified but could not help other people in suffering because they weren't getting to the root of their suffering. Because our modality, like a lot out there, was a bypass until we developed our 3D repression inquiry, which is what I'm talking about all the time. So if you can understand, we had a training program in which people were coming in, but Dan and I hadn't developed emotional repression inquiry. We were still doing bypassing practices and inquiries that didn't get to the root of suffering. That attracted a certain group of people who, unbeknownst to them, they really didn't want to get to the root of suffering. They were like me. They came to spirituality to get their needs met. They weren't conscious of it. They wanted to go and help and teach in part to get love and approval. They weren't conscious of that. And so when they came into our program before we had repression inquiry, you know, they got what they wanted because we hadn't directed the process to the buried emotions. They got to do some work, be somewhat free, not fully, and then just help other people and get their needs met. And that's that kind of like what Barbara Oakley calls pathological altruism, where we're so eager to help others because we have buried emotions. We don't know it. And that creates a codependency that we don't know the source of. And so we think we're just helping or teaching or because it's authentic. But until we've processed buried emotions, we don't even know why we're doing it. The unconscious drives everything. So to think that helping or teaching isn't being driven by unconsciousness, that's magical thinking. If there's repression, there is this, and repression is hidden. So there's nobody who's going to say, hey, who's going to call themselves out on this? Unless you process buried emotions, and then you would as a trainer. But we were not requiring our trainees who were in our training program to actually process buried emotions. And then we switched it on them. And we developed this repression inquiry kind of midstream for certain people who had come because, well, they came in a bypass. And when we went to the root of the bypass, they left. And guess what they left to do? Is go out and help people get those needs met. And when they left, a lot of them swore up and down that it wasn't coming from repression, but almost every one of them refused to go into the body to see if it was. Teachers and coaches can be the worst students. Sometimes they're the best. I have a couple that are great. But I have a long history with teachers and helpers because I switched from codependency to authentic helping, that there's created tension between me and certain teachers and helpers because I don't just rubber stamp for a training program whatever you have to offer. If it just because it looks good or because people like it. I've watched people be trained by Dan and I's bypassing method before we develop repression inquiry and become really skillful at that. And actually other people believe that they are like a maestro because you can lead people or point to presence in a way that's a complete bypass, but nobody knows it. And people might even think it's very skillful actually. I almost threw up when I saw it. I literally just almost got sick because I realized our training program created this person who now has all these people coming to this person, but they're coming from repression. They're not following along with our work, but they're claiming to be a KI mentor and they're doing it to get love and approval. And I train them. You see, because taking responsibility always starts with me, with you. One thing my team will tell you is that in business meetings through the years, when we come up with issues in the community or with a method, I'll say, oh yeah, I created that because I really did. I have to take responsibility because as the head teacher and trainer, the program was shaped around my realization or the limitations of it. So when there were issues of bypassing and codependency that had to be cleaned up in the program, I couldn't just point fingers at people who were coming to the program. I had to point that finger back at myself and say, I created a program that attracted people who were codependent with buried anger and who weren't really serious about getting to the root of that. They came here like the same reason I taught, to get their needs met. But I used to be such a people pleaser, so that when people would go through my training program, they would always like me. Even if they didn't get certified, there were a few people who, you know, are out there from the past who don't like me. But I was such a people pleaser that I didn't even welcome any conflict to help people become better. I'm telling you, anger repression isn't clear. And when I switched and I started having boundaries and much more sense of integrity around what we're doing with spirituality, it definitely resulted in some tension between me and people who were here training. I just refused to put my name on another certification for somebody who was turning a blind eye to their own need for love and approval. And yeah, that's all it was. It's like a relationship. When you're quiet for a really long time and you suffer because of it, and eventually you speak up, you're willing to go into that conflict if you've done your work, because you're moving into authenticity, and that's more important than anything. Even more important than people liking you. So strangely, the clearer I get, I've got more people who don't like me. But I've got closer relationships with people who I have authentic connection with. So I don't want those relationships and that's what I used to do as an anger repressor, is to have friends or colleagues who weren't dealing with their buried rage or hurt and weren't resolving their suffering. So they always brought some level of separation to the team anyway and created division in the community. But I let that happen. I created that by allowing people to get certified before they were serious about getting to the root of their own suffering. I'm not saying that in an egotistical manner, like I created that. It's responsibility when you see, no, because I was seeking safety and love, I created that. This was my program, me and Dan. And that was the only way we were able to clean it up, is to take responsibility. It's the only way that I've been able to have authentic relationships in my personal life, is to speak up and be real instead of being anything else. I was going to say be spiritual, but I don't know that I was ever really spiritual. I was stuck in anger repression, and awareness was my new ego. But I'll tell you what, that old phrase that I sleep well at night applies here, because even though by stating boundaries and what's important to us in our training program, we've lost people or some of them came at odds with us, we sleep well at night. Because when you're authentic, you don't walk away from transactions or conversations suffering. If you were really authentic, and it took us to do our work, me and Dan, on buried anger, which created our codependency that created this training program, to deal with it, there was no way we were going to clean anything up except through ourselves. And that's the same for my own relationships. Taking responsibility in my own relationships just means it's not right or wrong or good or bad. Taking responsibility for my unconsciousness. That's all I can do. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean, oh, well, that was my trauma. Sorry. I'm taking responsibility for it. Oops. And I shrug my shoulders like some anger repressors do, where they can't take responsibility. No, like really take responsibility, meaning transform out of that conditioning, or make conscious that conditioning that can't take responsibility. And there's so much that we're not taking responsibility for. If people only knew how much we hide this from ourselves. I think people, some know it because they've done work. But I mean, when you go to buried emotions, you see it. You see exactly, it's like dying and being given a life review, but it's all insight that leads to embodiment. Because it's not just that your life flashes before you during 3D repression inquiry, is it all the emotions that you couldn't feel get felt. It's a real death, a real awakening, or embodiment. But it just scares people, is all. Because people are driven by the need for safety and love. So if I could just go be a teacher, or if you could just go be a helper, then neither one of us has to feel that. We don't have to be really free. We could just continue to get our needs met. That has gone on throughout history so much because of the ignorance of trauma. When teachers have been invited to teach, or programs train people, therapists, or driven by the unconscious. And we don't know it. Taking responsibility when you have repression. Let's get back to that, because it's not about my training program. This is something everyone will go through here. When you get out of the head where the guilt is, and you don't process a bunch of shame, because guilt and shame protect us from the buried emotions. That's what we need to take responsibility for. Guilt and saying I'm sorry often covers up those deeper emotions. Or shame disconnects us from our bodies and from each other and from resolving issues through communication. So we can't take responsibility by just feeling bad about ourselves or ashamed. We're actually safe in that. And we're continuing to suffer by being driven by the buried emotions still and not taking responsibility for them. And instead, feeling guilt or shame. I lived mostly with shame, and that kept me from taking responsibility with regard to how the buried anger was creating the shame to protect me, and that it was creating all the other suffering. The repression was. In fact, on the spiritual path, processing shame delayed my embodiment by at least 5 years, because it's not the root. And it's not us taking responsibility. Shame is not an emotion that we express. It's something that keeps us safe from having to feel and express what's really true. It protects us. And if we go to ethical, I was approached right after we developed the repression inquiry, and I just shared that I came out of that righteous do-gooder covert narcissism, codependent anger repression. And I made a big deal out of it publicly. And then somebody from an ethical organization contacted me and asked me to join because they thought I was fighting their fight. No, I gave up your fight, the do-gooders, because you're not in your body. You're angry. And that's why you're in your head about ethics and trying to go after other people, because you haven't owned all the parts of yourself. The real ethics is the embodiment, when we take responsibility for our emotions. And then we act consciously. Until then, we might need to have some guidelines, but the righteous do-gooders of the world will use those guidelines, those ethical guidelines, as weapons to beat up on people who have different repression, frankly. I've seen anger repression-driven ethics organizations go after people who are hurt repressors. Big, angry people. I don't want to join anything like that. I don't want to be a part of that. That's not taking responsibility. Even the moral thing, there's a place for that somewhere, but it keeps us out of our bodies to go back to stuff like that. It's like with the homosexuality issue. To go back to morality keeps us all out of the repression and the shame that drives us all around sexual issues. And so we talk about other people instead of owning our own stuff. Once we own our own stuff, we act as conscious human beings. It doesn't mean we're always nice, though. That's the anger repression talking. It means we're real and conscious. I had to say that because, you know, when I look at the people driven by the morality or the ethics kind of taking responsibility, it just feels to me like it's a cop-out. And then until we get into our bodies, we don't even know that it's a cop-out. We have so many shadows when we have repression. It's so easy to go after those shadows, those other people out there, and make it about ethics and not see that it's our own buried emotions creating the shadows. And instead of processing the buried emotions, going after the people and calling that ethical. When it lacks responsibility completely of one's own experience, because that's where the shadows come from. Every righteous do-gooder stance that I tried to take was seen to come from buried rage. There was no ground to stand on. That's what non-duality is about. But if you can't see the root of the ground that you try to stand on, then how do you end that? And anger repressors especially will try to stand on solid, moral, good ground to stay safe from the buried anger. And they'll hide the parts of them, like I did, that they don't want other people to see. The parts that are connected to shame and that are driven by their own buried anger. Anger repressors like to divide the world up between good and bad in that way. And we contribute such suffering because of it. Because we don't take responsibility for how we create that duality for safety and to get love and to preserve that separateness of me. Back to our training program. We started to label something that we call takedown energy because it's like anger repressors who can't face someone directly. That happened to me so many times through the years. Someone couldn't take responsibility for their own emotions. And instead of it being authentic with me or someone else, they would try to take the person down, me down, through other people. That's what we do, though, is we can't confront ourselves and others directly with anger repression. So we dream up these ethical and other narratives to keep from doing that. But if we could feel and express what was true directly to people, we wouldn't want to take them down. We'd be taking ourselves down. We would see where we're coming from buried anger. That's why we want to take them down. But once we can feel and express what's true, that violence goes away, that inner violence that doesn't look like rage on the surface. It just looks like righteousness sometimes, like being right about something, but not addressing something directly with someone. See that? How we create such suffering between good, bad, right, and wrong by not taking responsibility for the buried emotions that create all that. And then if we suffer in a relationship or in a spiritual community, many of us have this lingering suffering. And if we don't clear those buried emotions, we live in that. We might even go from one community to the other, or one teacher to the other. We never heal because everywhere we go, we just keep avoiding taking responsibility for what drove us there. And that's the avoidant spiritual path is what I'm referring to here. I wasn't very clear, but the three signs are disconnection, number one. Number two, turn everything into a mistress. And three, repeat. Pretty easy signs to see. So connected to taking responsibility, because the disconnection comes from how we haven't made conscious buried emotions that create that disconnection and suffering. We have not yet taken responsibility, so we're suffering. Now, we seem to take responsibility for it when we seek to alleviate the suffering, but because we're still driven by the same buried emotions and unmet needs, we can't end the suffering. We can't take responsibility for what's buried. And so we turn whatever we're using into a mistress, an automatic bypass. And then number three happens, where we just keep doing it. And we have a long string of things or that we've tried, and it didn't end suffering. Why? Because we never took responsibility for what we needed to from the beginning. We didn't know how. We didn't know that we needed to. Maybe we weren't trauma informed. Maybe our teacher didn't know about buried emotions or unmet needs. Maybe they couched freedom in spiritual terms, which distracted us from the fact that we couldn't take responsibility for buried emotions and end suffering. There's a bunch of reasons for it. But the fact remains is that we didn't take responsibility for what we buried. And until we do, the avoidant path and suffering has to continue. And yet, all we really need is just kind of one person or a few people to say to us at the beginning of a spiritual path, let me show you about and teach you about repression and how it drives suffering, and how if you don't take responsibility for what you've buried, here's what could happen. And here's what does happen. That's what this podcast is for, is just to share that for anybody who's ready to hear responsibility from a different place. And then accountability is also kind of a cop-out because we're trying to hold other people accountable. But that's often a trigger for us because we can't feel and express what's true. If you feel and express what's true, will you really have to hold people accountable? It doesn't feel free. If you have to hold somebody accountable, aren't you trying to control them? And then therefore, aren't you trying to control your own emotions and be something false? Anyway, if these things interest you and you really want to get to the heart of it, that's what my 90-day program is about, is we just take responsibility for what's buried from the beginning and how it manifests in all these different ways, and then teach people how to process that. The 90-day program is the best way to learn KI, hands down. I think the people in that program would tell you that. But if you're not ready for one-on-one, if you are, click on the link in the description, because you can come talk to me for free and just see if this is a fit for you first, if you're serious about working with me. And if you're not really serious about one-on-one, if you click on that link, it shows you the KI Jumpstarter Group 2, which is a way to learn these tools in a group setting. Thanks for listening.